just you, but everyone around you is flat. In fact, the whole world is flat. This odd state of affairs was described by Edwin Abbott way back in 1884 in his book Flatland, A Romance of Many Dimensions. And I'd like to read a short paragraph out of this. I call our world Flatland, not because we call it so, but to make its nature clearer to you, my happy readers, who are privileged to live in space. Imagine a vast sheet of paper on which straight lines, triangles, squares, pentagons, hexagons, and other figures, instead of remaining fixed in place, move freely about, honoring the surface, but without the power of rising above or sinking below, very much like shadows, only hard with luminous edges, and you will have a pretty correct notion of my country and countrymen. In such a country, you will perceive at once that it is impossible that there should be anything of what we call solid kind. Skipping a bit. Nothing was visible, nor could be visible to us, except straight lines. So the Flatlanders, because they lived in two dimensions, were very limited in what they could do. They could not go around objects, they always had to go above or below them. Also, because they were stuck in this flat space when they looked at other people, they only saw their edges. The favorite sport in Flatland would probably be Pong. The favorite movies would look like Morse code, just dots and dashes. Unfortunately, when it comes to communicating, we're often stuck in Flatland. This is because we underestimate the available dimensions. This speech is about the dimensions of communication, specifically the dimensions involved in graphing data or creating web pages. I'll begin by spending a little bit of time on what I mean by dimension, and then we'll talk about what the available dimensions might be. We'll look at examples of how people underestimate the dimensions. And finally, we'll look at some examples of how people have broken out of Flatland. So what is a dimension? Simply put, it's just a quantity that can vary independently of other quantities. And another outside source does a good job of describing that. This is Keith Devlin. It's called Mathematics, the Science of Patterns. And he says, the concept of dimension is a fundamental one to human beings. A train traveling on a railroad track is moving in one dimension. Though the track itself may curve around, climb, and fall, the train has only one direction of motion. The track is embedded in a three-dimensional world, but the train's world is a one-dimensional one. Relative to the origin, the position of the train at any time may be completely specified by just one parameter, the sign distance from the origin measured along the track. One parameter, one dimension. A ship on the sea has 2 degrees of freedom, forward and backward, left and right. The ship therefore moves in 2 dimensions. An airplane in flight moves in 3 dimensions, in forward, backward, left or right, left or right, up or down, it has 3 degrees of freedom. Degrees of freedom do not have to be spatial, as was the case in these examples. When dimensions are regarded non-geometrically, but as degrees of freedom, there is no reason to stop at 3. And that's the key quote. When dimensions are regarded non-geometrically, but as degrees of freedom, there is no reason to stop at 3. So if we think about this room, and imagine we had to recreate this room somewhere else, and not only recreate this room, but recreate the events in the room. We want to fool someone into thinking that they're actually sitting here listening to us give our speeches. What are all the things that we'd have to consider? All the objects, we'd have to keep track of their 3 spatial dimensions. I know you mentioned that with the trains and ships and whatnot. But we'd also have to match colors. We'd have to match the temperature. We'd have to match sounds, smells. I don't smell anything right now, but if we were baking cookies, we'd have to match that. A taste, which might be stretching a little bit, but if I lick the floor, I'm sure it tastes like something, and we need to match it, otherwise I could lick the imaginary floor and tell it was imaginary. Weights and gravities, we have to make sure the objects reacted the same way when we pushed on them. So that's a lot more than 3 dimensions, and that's only just scratching the surface, because many of these dimensions have hidden dimensions. Take color. Color actually has 3 independent quantities, 3 dimensions. red, green, blue, or hue, saturation, brightness, or whatever system of three you like. sound, because we have two ears, sound is directional. So sound has a couple dimensions. Taste, we have sweet, sour, salty, bitter. That's four. Smells are very interesting. According to James Collate's Intro to Psychology, the nose has at least 100 types of receptors, olfactory receptors, probably several hundred. So that means that smell alone could have hundreds of dimensions buried within it. So now that we know what a dimension is, and we know that there are lots of dimensions around, is it really true that people underestimate the number of dimensions? And I think it is. Let me quickly give a couple examples. The first is by Kevin Hunt. It's called Establishing a Presence on the World Wide Web, a Rhetorical Approach. And he says, the way that users conceptualize the web is manifested in the language and metaphors they use to describe the web itself. Many describe the web as a three-dimensional space with specific locations. So, the World Wide Web, with text, with colors, with graphics, with little animated doodles, with sound, with all these dimensions, people still say it has three dimensions. This seems bizarre, but I think it's true. When graphing data, this also comes up. I've heard many people say, and I've probably been guilty of this myself, saying something like, this data set has four dimensions, therefore I can't plot it. I can't do anything with the data. I'm here to tell you that that's not true. And so let's look at three examples of how people have broken out the flat map. The first one is a series of graphs. This comes from a book called Uncertainty. What this is looking at is it's looking at pollution. Nine different experts are evaluating how they think pollution is going to change over time coming out of the smokestack. And so it looks complicated, and it is a little complicated. But the important part of this is it shows six dimensions. It's just a piece of paper. It's only black and white, and they're showing six dimensions of data simultaneously. In the text that accompanies this, they claim this is some kind of record, but I'm here to tell you it's not a record, because I love it. This graph, this shows New York precipitation in 1980, and it also shows humidity and a bunch of other weather-related things. This has nine dimensions of data, so there's nine independent quantities that they're showing on the same graph. This is from a book by Edward Tufte called The Visual Display of Quantitative Data, which is a great book. My last example is a bunch of smiley faces, but they actually are important smiley faces. This is an example from Chernoff. They're called Chernoff faces. The data is actually geologic data. So people sampled a bunch of rocks and looked at the minerals in the rocks. And then they matched up all those quantities that they measured with facial graphics. So for instance, the width of the mouth means something, and how smiley the mouth is means something, and how big the eyes are means something else. So each one of these faces has 12 dimensions of data. And then you have a bunch of faces, so you're talking at least 13 dimensions. So let's recap. We've talked about what a dimension is, and we've talked about how there are many, many dimensions. We've also seen that people often underestimate the dimensions. It's very easy to get stuck in flatland. However, we've also seen examples of how you can get back out of flatland. The geological data, for example, have 13 dimensions in it. So when communicating, we do not have to get stuck in flatland. And I hope you can do your part to make sure that we do not get stuck in flatland. Thank you.
Inch.